Next, I'd like to introduce...
Throw your hands in the air if you're a true player.
This is Sheeman and Shepherd.
That boy is good.
Good and terrible.
You shut your mouth.
I think you two dudes are going to become real homies.
Where do we find these guys?
Oh, man, I hate those guys.
Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
TGIF. Hello, everybody. On a Friday, it is 2 o'clock. We are live and local right in your backyard. Southwest Florida sports leader, Craig Sheeman, Pete Shepherd. Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN. Be here till 6 o'clock. We are good to go. Field Yates from ESPN will join us. We had 12 glorious NFL games last night to talk about, including locally, Buccaneers and Dolphins. We'll cover it. Baker Mayfield makes his debut. He did not disappoint. Saquon Barkley had probably the most talked about 39-yard run in preseason history. Andrew Luck is back. Had the first ejection on the new helmet rule last night. It happened late out west. Maybe you missed it there. Deflategate 2.0. We will discuss. And LeBron dissed in Cleveland. Our phone number is 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. It's also the Stony Brook Golf Club text line. You can follow me at Twitter, at Craig ESPN. You can follow Pete Shepherd at PSHEP326. Pete, you were out there at Buffalo Wild Wing getting things kicked off while Chris and I were at home watching the Buccos and the Dolphins last night. How are you?
I'm great. I want to thank everybody at Buffalo Wild Wings at the Forum last night down at Dynasty Drive right off of Colonial Boulevard and I-75. Thanks to Jonathan, the general manager, did a great job. Street Teamer Sweeney was down there doing a kick-butt job as well. Met lots of great people, lots of great, a lot of great college football talk last night I had in the 2 hours I was down there. And watched, the Bucs and Miami Dolphin game was on, and a lot of people saw our commercial.
Yeah, our commercial aired there.
First time it aired was about 8 o'clock.
Nine and a half minutes to go in the second quarter. Yeah. It aired a couple of times during commercial break. Yeah, I liked it.
It was great. And, then the Giants-Cleveland game was on, so a lot of people saw Baker Mayfield last night. So it was a great place. It was absolutely packed. I mean packed. From the moment I got there about 6:30, and it was still packed when I left at 9 o'clock, so 9:15 or so. So great time. Thanks, everybody. And get down to the Buffalo Wild Wings and sign up for a draft party. Get those free draft kits, too. So you don't have to do anything except it comes with everything.
Good.
So
you got to place cool the sticker. Stuff. That's it, right?
Yeah,
that's the only thing you got to do.
That's easy.
It comes like a boy. Everything is there for you.
Get to be like your own commissioner.
Yeah.
Chris will be at a Buffalo Wild Wing location next week, and then I'll be at one the following
week. Yeah, out in the Cape next week where we did our NFL draft show at. So I'll be out there from 7 to 9, and then Craig, you'll be there the following Thursday.
That
same one
was,
where Pete was last night.
Yep. Well, it'll be good. Looking forward to it. So thanks for everybody who came out last night for that. All right. So let's start off with the Bucs and the Dolphins. I got to tell you, of all the games in the NFL, this had a lot of moving pieces, a lot of activity to talk about. I think a lot of people did really well in this game. I'm trying to kind of break down what my impressions. The first thing I noticed that caught my attention yesterday. Ryan Tannehill, first play. They run the same play that he got injured on in practice just to get that over with, whether it was a mental thing or whatever, rolling out to the right side, throwing a pass, completed his first four passes, and then called it a night shortly thereafter. But I think that was a good step forward for Ryan Tannehill.
It was, and I thought he looked good. The play, the one read, though, that disappointed me was also one his last incomplete pass. It was fourth and eight. And I don't know, he's too experienced. You can't make that throw. At best, it's going to be a 3 yard gain. And it was a crappy throw. And it was a drop and it was incomplete. It just kind of, for me, it took away from what I thought would have been a great. I don't know why. You're better off throwing the ball away almost. I mean, or look for a better read than that. That was the kind of plays, though, that are going to be the difference if they're going to be staying contention at 8-8, 9-7 for a playoff hunt or not make it. I know it's first preseason game, but those are the plays, I'm looking at. Gesicki had a couple of targets, He almost made one unbelievable, incredible.
It was a bad throw.
Catch. It was a bad throw.
You were right.
He almost made it good.
He wasn't getting his feet down though.
That kid,
throw took him out of bounds in the end zone.
But the fact that he had one hand, I mean, that big paw came up and you can see there is a lot of Gronk in him.
Yeah, you can see the athleticism.
Right.
He doesn't have the size that a Gronk has, but there's the athleticism and he's the new era tight end where if you're going to keep him on the end of the line to block, he's not an asset for you.
If you're sending
him out for a pass, that's where he's going to shine.
And Amendola last night had that one catch for 5 yards early, but the one play that he did, it was kind of a bad throw by Tannehill.
It was a bad throw.
But Amendola flying through the air, I'm going, oh, my God, please don't get hurt. Because that's how he's gotten hurt in the past. Where he's busted his collarbone and busted his elbow before when he was with the Rams. That's what's happened in the past. And I cringe when he dove through the air and landed the way he did because I think he knocked the wind out of himself a little bit, but he got up. But overall, I think a pretty good night for Tannehill.
Now,
except for that one throw, I liked what I saw. He looked pretty poised out there, and there's a lot of weapons on that Dolphin. I'm telling you,
I like Kellen Balazs. I like this guy. Now, I know you got Kenyon Drake and Frank Gore, and it's a crowded backfield, but he did make that stupid leap / fumble, which he won't do that again. I mean, but that was just, it ruined what I thought was a pretty impressive night for him.
And, a couple things that people may not have picked up on. He picked up the blitz a couple of times, and he gave David Fales a couple extra, about a half a second or a second, which it'll put you on the field in third down or when Drake needs a rest. That's when you can put Balazs in at that point, because if you can keep him in for those passing downs, that's when he becomes an asset. You can see the athleticism oozing out of him when he steps on the field. If he can grasp the mental side of the game, picking up blitzes consistently, that's where it's going to go a long way for him.
Now, let me ask you this, as a Dolphins fan, when you look at Ryan Tannehill, take him aside, the other three quarterbacks, David Fales, Brock Osweiler, Bryce Petty, if you had to make a decision today.
Oh, it's David Fales, and it's not close.
It's not even close.
It's not close.
And we thought that last year.
He was not bad. Yeah.
He was the third stringer last year, I believe, when we said, oh, you should be the backup.
Well, and he started I don't know if he started or he just came in for that final regular season game against Buffalo where the Dolphins kind of got blown out.
So let me ask you this. Is Brock Osweiler an NFL quarterback anymore?
Not anymore, no.
It's over, right?
Yeah, he made one or two nice throws
His best throw last night was that back shoulder throw, which was incomplete.
Right.
Because it was in the corner of the end zone.
He threw a nice out route to a tight end that was like 2 yards down the field.
Yeah.
It was good placement, but there wasn't a lot there.
Because he was the hot thing in Denver, goes over, gets the big deal with the Texans. The Texans pay to get rid of him. They ship him to where quarterbacks go to die in Cleveland. Cleveland didn't want him. He ends up with the Dolphins. There's nowhere left for Brock Osweiler to go. I think his NFL career is over.
I agree with you. I agree with you. The other thing, before we start talking about Tampa Bay a little bit too, Fitzpatrick. I don't know if you saw it. The last touchdown by Jones, who didn't have a great game, by the way, but did score that touchdown. And it's not really Fitzpatrick's job to kind of get over there, but when I slowed it down again this morning, man, he wanted no part of it. He kind of like, should I try to tackle? Nope, maybe not. I guarantee you Gase is going to play that for him today, that touchdown that Jones scored, because he kind of was sort of there, could have had a chance to at least throw a body on him. Maybe he didn't want to lead with his helmet. I don't know, but I was a little disappointed that he didn't try harder on the tackle.
He did have a nice breakup down the sideline where he led with the shoulder. You can tell that he's coming from the current college game where targeting is is the norm.
Minka Fitzpatrick? We liked everything we saw on him. I liked the game he played last night.
I liked everything too.
You can tell
except for that last play where he could have got in there, I thought, and put a body on Jones to stop the touchdown. Maybe not to stop it, but he kind of and then he sort of skipped over the pile. I don't know. That's one of those plays I think Gase will get on him for today.
Okay.
It's nice to see that he's always around the ball.
Yeah.
He's not afraid to go up apart from the one run that Pete's talking about. I mean, he was always around the football, which is a good thing.
That's what you want.
Now, I thought the secondary looked good enough for the Dolphins. That front seven needs a lot of work, at least the front four. Yeah. The interior, they were getting gashed
how about
when starters were on starters.
Was it the second series? for the Dolphins. How about when McCoy got through and took fails and threw him down like a rag doll?
Yeah.
I thought he was dead.
But once again,
I thought he was dead. Now, I wonder if that would have happened to Tannehill, because they didn't get any pressure on Tannehill for the most part.
Right.
That one series. And I don't know how much they were scheming or
at that point, it was the Bucs' first team defense against the Dolphins' second team offense.
But if that was
not to mention a Pro Bowler going up against a second team offensive line.
Thinking, my God, if that was McCoy and got to Tannehill and did that to him, God, that's exactly what we feared.
Yep.
I mean, there were a lot of injuries last night too, a lot between Washington and San Francisco, which we'll get to, but not too bad last night.
For Miami.
And
there was one helmet ejection last night. It was the Colts. And it was.
It was egregious.
It was fine.
Yeah.
If that's what the ejection is.
Yeah. Yep. It needs to be an ejection.
Okay.
That would have been an ejection last year, maybe. I mean.
Right. So
Maybe not.
Guess we don't really have any more clarity with the helmet to helmet.
No.
It wasn't called in the Dolphins game. I turned it off in the fourth quarter,
but I didn't
see it called.
Not at all.
And only Vernon Hargraves left with a small groin injury. Not a big deal. I don't think it's a big deal. And Mike Hull, a linebacker for the Dolphins, injured. Went off on a cart, but that was about it.
There was another Darius Geis. Did we hear from Darius Geis? He left with an injury. He was supposed to get an MRI
today. Well, we heard from
him
before the game. Can you imagine him saying that to some other more prominent coaches that if you're going to put me in, don't put me in for three plays, put me in for more? He said that to Gruden before the game.
Who, Geis? No, Darius Geis with the Redskins. That's what I was talking about. He had an injury, and I'm asking if anybody's heard anything, because he was supposed to have an MRI. It didn't look good at the time, although he said that he was fine.
Yeah, but he said before the game to the coach, don't put me in if you're only going to run three plays.
Oh, I get you.
You know, don't put me in if you're going to keep me in
three
plays.
I'm thinking John Gruden, not Jay Gruden. I got you. We're on the same page.
Yeah. I was like, who does that?
Yeah.
Who does that?
Yeah.
239, what's the deal with Dick Stockton?
Do we want to answer that question? I feel bad.
We need to go on Dick Stockton, or can we start with Bob Greasy?
Take your pick.
Gosh, I wanted to mute the television.
Why didn't we get Chris Myers in the Tampa broadcast for a road game?
I don't know. I mean, I love our commercials on Channel 2, but I don't understand why the Tampa Bay broadcast wasn't in this market.
I'm not sure how that works.
Man.
I really don't.
I almost wanted to watch the game on mute. It was getting to the play, especially when you're getting into the second and third stringers where they don't know the names just because it's 91 rushing off the edge.
Right.
They can't go, oh, Cam Wake.
Right.
Except you've got the depth chart in front of you. It's gigantic numbers,
too.
I don't know why you just...
And you have a spotter helping you.
You have a spotter helping. Look, I went through it in New England when for exhibition games only. Don Crickey, who was one of the best announcers I've ever heard in my life in his prime, he was doing pregame stuff the last few years, not the last two, but before that, and he had lost it, absolutely lost it. What they should do with these local broadcasts, Chris does a great job for Tampa Bay. He's unbelievable. But what Miami should do is go with local announcers that are familiar with the team, that are around the team all the time, that have some play-by-play experience.
Well, that's
what you got to do. You're not going to draw people because Dick Stockton and Bob Greasy are sitting there doing the game.
Now, I do understand Dolphins wanting to keep it Dolphins up in the booth.
Yeah.
But I feel like...
Keep Dolphins like up in the booth.
Let's go to the next generation.
Jason Taylor does radio for Westwood One.
Yeah.
And he's the analyst.
Yes.
Get him.
I mean, is he not good enough looking for you to put on TV? Instead, you want 85-year-old Bob Greasy?
I get Richie Incognito. That's just me. But... that would really brighten up the broadcast.
A widescreen's not wide enough.
Hey, get Jay Cutler up there or something.
My wife was watching the show last night.
Oh, really?
I was listening when I was headed to Buffalo Wild Wings last night, so I had our station on. Listen to Tampa Bay, the pregame show.
Yeah.
And they had a reporter on from the Palm.
They had Joe Schad.
Joe Schad.
Yeah.
Very good. And he just, at the very end, talked about somebody brought, one of the, whoever's doing the pregame brought up, Cutler. He's like, get that guy out of here. Get him out of here fast enough.
That's over, right?
Yeah.
But on the other side of things, I thought Fitzpatrick looked really good.
He looked incredible. 6 of 8.
What, Jackson and Evans both had a reception.
Yep.
Brate got involved once Jameis got back into the fold.
I mean, Jameis picked apart the second team with the Dolphins. Picked them apart.
Right.
But that was still
keyword being second team.
Okay, but you know what? If he hadn't done that, if the numbers were below average, we'd be sitting here ripping the crap out of him.
Yeah.
Fact.
That's true.
Fact. Yep.
And it made it a lot easier to watch in the second quarter.
It did.
A lot easier.
But Fitzy was good at first. I liked what I saw. Very poised.
Yeah.
I mean, he marched that team down the field and
it was quick.
You can't rattle him. You can't rattle him. No, this is business as usual. Just another day at the office. Love the guy. Ronald Jones II did not impress. The running back out of USC did not do anything. 8 carries, 9 yards. Just wasn't very good.
Nope. Peyton Barber looks like he will be the starter there for a while.
Yeah, I think so. All right, let's talk about the kicking situation with the Buccaneers. They missed their first extra point of the game, and I thought, here we go again.
Chandler Cannizzaro, who was 29 of 29 last year for the Jets. I'm telling you, man, whatever, anything they have that has Matt Bryant still around, the Buccaneers, anything, because that's the curse. When they got rid of him and he went to Atlanta, that was it. That was it. And Greg said they're bringing in another kicker today.
Can we bring back a
Nick Rose is coming in today.
Okay, I don't know who that is.
Well, okay, he started off the year with the Redskins for 8 games. They cut him, and then he finished the year, I believe, with the Chargers after the Chargers went through their cycle of kickers. So he wasn't even their starting kicker, but they're bringing him in. And Cannizzaro, they just signed him to a 3-year, $10 million deal.
I
don't know what he got up front. But
I think he'll be okay, but I know he missed a 53-yard or two, another one. But
they said they wanted to put the kicking issue to rest. They got their guy, and they gave him a lot of money. I mean, are they still paying what's-his-face from the second round? Is he still on the books?
Aguayo? Yeah.
They're spending so much money on kickers.
Is this the fourth year?
Well, it was because this was last year it happened, right?
And yeah, but he had already been there for a season.
He was there for third or fourth, whatever. I think he's still on their book. He's got to probably still on the books. Pretty embarrassing.
Second rounder on kicker.
All right. You have Tannehill doing, goes 4 for 4. Right? That last two passes weren't good, but still, I thought he looked pretty good, and I get no points out of it because Mr. Perfect last year with the Jets goes 0 for 1. Initially with the Buccaneers. I did laugh. I must say I laughed out loud. I just couldn't believe it.
Well,
and the Dolphins kicking game is going to be.
Yeah.
That's going to be interesting to watch.
Well,
the kid that they drafted in the 7th round out of New Mexico, you could tell he's got a huge leg.
Yep. Yeah.
Missed what was it? A 53, 56 yarder?
Yeah.
So there's a competition there.
Yeah. Well, a 56 yarder, you got to cut a little bit of slack.
Oh, that's no. Yes.
Yeah. You know.
But it's two rookies in camp.
Yeah.
Right. All right, I think we should throw that one on the Lumpy's Golf Twitter poll today because, I mean, the game went down to the wires, 26-24. It's just a preseason game. So I think we can ask people, who did you think was more impressive, the Bucs or the Dolphins?
I agree. I'll tell you what, and I know it's first exhibition game. Maybe the weather wasn't great, but, man, how many people were there last night? 50?
Looked a little thin.
Looked a little thin.
There were more people at your soccer game.
Did you see the stands in the second quarter?
No, was it full?
Yes.
So it's late arriving again.
It was a late arriving crowd for a preseason game. How moronic are you?
Well,
yeah,
I got
the
weather.
Starters.
Yeah, but here's
Show up and then leave.
I think the weather had something to do with it. You heard Rick, he had a hard time getting the parking lot at 5 o'clock.
Yeah, he did.
5:15. So I think the weather had a lot to do with it. And, maybe at Hard Rock, maybe they didn't have everybody. Who knows? First preseason game. You're getting your act together. You're getting.
Got to get your
parking
drinks.
Routes together, all that stuff. So who knows? That might have all come into play.
All right, we'll put that on a simple one on the Lumpy's Golf Twitter poll. Who is more impressive, the Dolphins or the Buccaneers? I think it's a valid question. And, of course, brought to you by Lumpy's Golf. Greg Norman Polos, which you're wearing one today.
Yes,
nice
I
purple
am.
One. 2 for $50, regularly $45 each. So check out Lumpy's Golf. And you can follow Lumpy's at Twitter at Lumpy's Golf FM. All right, very good. All right, I think we're up and running. And unless you have something else to add about this game.
No, all I will tell you is SEC fans out there.
Yes.
I'll throw out a name to you.
Okay.
I want you to remember this name.
All right.
You might be hearing a lot for him. I was ripped last year in my fantasy team because I drafted Rex Burkhead late, and he was unbelievable, really, the last, say, 6-7 games.
Unbelievable?
It was very good. He averaged almost 15 points.
Well, now you're backtracking.
He averaged,
I
think Craig would have loved to have a person average close to 15 fantasy points a game.
Okay, that's good.
Thank you, Julio Jones.
I think it's very good for a third string / fourth string, really.
Yeah, I don't.
But made an impact. But I am telling you, watch this kid, Ralph Webb from Vanderbilt. He was an undrafted pickup by the Patriots. He was the 9th running back on their depth chart heading into last night's. And he was very good.
Ralph Webb?
Ralph Webb out of Vandy.
Any relation to David Webb, the horrible quarterback for the New York Giants?
I don't think so. One is Caucasian, one is African-American, but okay. Who knows? I'm not going to make any assumptions, but I'm telling you.
Speaking of Davis, he was, what, 9 of 22 last night?
That was the most pathetic thing I've seen. Osweiler made him look like, like Dan Marino.
Did you know that Davis Webb and Baker Mayfield were in the same quarterback room at Texas Tech, and then they both transferred out?
Wow.
They were teammates.
I believe, and then Mahomes came in the next year, I think.
Yeah, that worked out different ways for different people.
That Webb kid last night scored 2 touchdowns, had 2 2-point conversions as well. And
your Webb, not the Giants.
Right.
No, my Webb.
Webb Simpson or whatever his name is.
Webb Simpson. Anybody named Webb. What Florio said this morning is like, how many quarterbacks out there that if you reverse their last name and first name, it wouldn't matter because nobody knows who they are.
Mayfield Baker. May Baker.
May Baker.
We'll talk about him next. His debut was impressive, I thought. And Saquon Barkley's first touch was certainly pretty impressive. We'll talk about that as well. Quick update on the PGA Championship. So Gary Woodland's still on top. What did I see? He's at minus 10 today?
10 under par. Solo first. Solo second is Kevin Kisner at 9 under par. Solo third is Brooks Koepka at 8 under par. Then you got a nice little group at 4 under. Or tied for fourth, I'm sorry. That includes Dustin Johnson and Thomas Peters, who are 7 under.
Who's in second place?
Kevin Kisner.
Kisner.
And who's in third?
Your boy.
Brooks Koepka.
Your boy.
I didn't hear that.
Yeah, I know. He's dead to you.
Was there dead air?
Yeah, no. Oh. Brooks.
Who?
Koepka. You know, the guy with the nice muscles and all that? Yeah.
You know, he's a Knoll.
Who? Uncle Fester?
Is he really?
Mm-hmm. Seminole.
Wow. It seems like every time Pete picked him, he drained the toilet, and anytime
I was 1 for 3 with him last year,
he's good.
He disappointed me.
Well, he's back.
No, not for long.
Tiger tees off in 25 minutes.
Are they behind schedule? Oh, the 248. 248? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, he's got to put up a big number today because the field's
getting
away from him.
Well, he's got to put up a low number today.
Low number. Good number. Low. He's got to get about a 64, 65 today to keep this thing interesting.
It's like when somebody tells you to turn the air up.
Yeah.
And they really mean down.
Well, I do the same thing with high draft pick or low draft pick. Sometimes high, low. It's confusing.
Because technically the lowest draft is pick 1.
Right.
And the high is Mr. Irrelevant, but.
Right. But we say the opposite.
Exactly.
Sometimes. It's very confusing, as you can see. All right. So we'll keep. So Gary Woodland yesterday, real quick before we go to, I didn't mention his name all day in a 4-hour show. I mean, we were watching it, didn't talk about him. I go home, I take an hour, I get back on the computer. And start watching the game, looking for our nice commercial, TV commercial on the game yesterday, which I liked. And then all of a sudden, boom, Gary Woodland, leader.
Oh, gosh.
By the way, good job this morning on first and last. Is that it?
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I was out again this morning.
Got up at 4:15 to go bathroom, and they said, let me just mosey on over to my phone and turn them on for a second. And there you were, running down the NFL, very highly energized,
NFL.
Very good job.
And the Marlins just traded first baseman Justin Bour to the Phillies.
Everything on schedule, according to Derek Jeter. Everything's going in the right direction. All right, we have 11 other NFL games to talk about. By the way, if you want to talk about your favorite team, the phone lines are working. It's 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. More NFL. Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN.
This is Sheeman and Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN, online at 99.3ESPN.com. Sheeman and Shepherd.
I'm Craig Sheeman, along with Pete Shepherd on Southwest Florida Sports Leader, 99.3 ESPN. So last night, the Buccaneers squeak out a win over the Dolphins, 26-24. A lot of good storylines there. Got it on our Lumpy's Golf Twitter poll. Who was more impressive in that game? 11 other games around the NFL. And I think the big story of the game, obviously, is the two top picks in the draft went head-to-head in Baker Mayfield for the Browns and Saquon Barkley and the Giants. I mean, we can keep saying and kind of like whistling in the wind, like we don't know what's coming. Baker Mayfield, they say Tyrod Taylor, it's his job, it's his job, it's his job. But, I mean, and look, Tyrod Taylor looked good. I mean, he was out there, precision and control of the offense, everything's good.
Yeah, 5 for 5, 99 yards, a touchdown.
I mean, so I guess that's good, but I mean, you just see it coming.
So what's it good enough for? 4 wins? And if Baker Mayfield gets the experience and they only get three, by the way, I think they're going to win about four games this year, too. I do believe. Although, God, Hugh Jackson after the game, did you hear his comments? He speaks like I'm watching Peanuts, like I'm watching Charlie Brown.
Charlie Brown or Charlie Brown's teacher?
Charlie Brown.
Okay, I just want to be clear.
Charlie Brown, it's like, it's very wishy-washy to me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
It's not screaming leadership?
No, I'm not saying yell and scream and flip tables or anything like that. I don't know. I don't know. But I thought Baker Mayfield, I mean, the eyeball test, we know. By watching that kid, I think he's got it. It's going to take a while. He's going to make some mistakes. But I think he's got it. But Tyrod Taylor looked good. I'm wondering, though, what kind of leash Tyrod Taylor's on.
Well, I mean, as long as he keeps doing 5 for 5. I mean, it's not like he threw three picks.
No, but.
So, again, we've had this discussion before. What's the over? I mean, I think by October. I think first four games. I think Tyrod Taylor's got 2 to 4 games, probably mm-hmm. 4. And again, it all depends on the record and how many interceptions he's throwing. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
But, you know.
How about Callaway? How about the touchdown pass to Callaway?
55? Is that how long it was?
Yeah. Running right to the parole officer. Sitting at the end zone. Sign this.
Nice. That's pretty good.
Oh,
well, man. At least the Browns are interesting. I mean, for years with their 1-31, they weren't even interested. Don't look at the TV right now, by the way, because you won't see anything.
I don't see anything. It's like a vampire looking in the mirror.
Your book boy Brooks Koepka's up there with his big,
I see a nice looking
big
lady,
muscles.
Nice looking lady at TNT with a purple shirt and a handheld microphone, and I don't see anything else. Who's she talking to?
He's dead to you.
Tyrod Taylor has 2 years left on his contract. Half of it's guaranteed, making $15 million a year. So if you bench him, you're paying your backup $15 million a year.
Well,
now, can you do that when your starter's making... What's Baker making? 22 this year?
I wouldn't even look at that contract. As far as
that's the total deal. Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah, he's making 8 this year.
All right,
eight per year.
Actually, I think he said during Hard Knocks $7.7 million after taxes.
After taxes, yeah. Paying your agent and all that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No, he did. He actually did say
it's that. See, Baker will give you a straight answer. I like it.
The beard. How about the beard?
It's all good. I told you. I am a longtime fan.
Looks like Mr. Tumnus.
Of Baker Mayfield.
Lion, the Witch in the Wardrobe.
Some people, he rubs them the wrong way. He doesn't rub me the wrong way. I like his cockiness. I like his arrogance. And I tell you, this is a guy that is, it's the American story. Nobody recruited him out of high school. Walks on to Texas mm-hmm. Tech, wins the job, gets injured, loses the job, leaves, has nowhere to go, decides to walk out of Oklahoma, gets the job there, Heisman Trophy, number one pick in the draft. They should make movies out of storylines like that. It's unbelievable. And I think you got to root for the guy. And he's going to the most dysfunctional team in the history of the NFL. And we'll see what he can do because quarterbacks go to die in Cleveland. They do. But I don't think he is. I think he's going to have a nice career. Now,
But I think that Dorsey is going to overrule Hugh Jackson at some point. I think
get my guy out there.
To get him out there. I do believe. I think there might be a problem here at some point.
When did Bill O'Brien make the switch last year when we all could clearly see that Tom Savage was not on the same plane?
Against the Patriots, wasn't it? He tore up the Patriots.
Now,
Patriots won that game, but he was unbelievable.
Bill O'Brien, even before that, and I can't remember the quarterback roulette that he did 2 years before that. He stuck with the guy all through camp, and then he made a change. Was it the first half or the first game of the regular season? So Bill O'Brien's not afraid to pull the trigger. Mm-hmm. So to wait till week three, that was kind of long for him. Hugh Jackson, same thing. Week two, week three, it all depends. I mean, you know, Baker could come out here and throw some picks, and everybody say, well, he's still learning, got the learning curve. So we'll see.
No, Deshaun Watson was in week one, actually.
Did he start week two?
He didn't start.
Started week two.
That just furthers my point that Bill O'Brien is not afraid to pull the trigger.
What was the first game that Houston played last year?
It was against Jacksonville. Deshaun Watson, 12 of 23, 102 yards, a touch, and a pick. Jacksonville won that game 29-7.
Yeah, I was going to say they blasted him.
The
yeah.
following week was his first. It was that Thursday night game at Cincinnati. That was just week two.
And he won that one, right?
Wow. He did win that one. It was an ugly win. It was 13-9. He was the...
But that's, he had a week to prepare. That short week, actually, because
it was a short
week.
Yeah,
it's a very unusual move. Yeah. I can tell you, Bill O'Brien's not afraid to pull the trigger.
And the next week was against the Patriots, and he just
20, that Thursday night game, he was 20 of 35 for, oh, I'm sorry, 15 of 24 for 125. He had the rushing touchdown. He was the leading rusher for his team that game.
Yeah.
And then the following week was the Patriots that he threw for 300 yards. Yeah. Then it was week 8 where they went into Seattle and had what I thought was the best game of the regular season last year, top three at least, where they lost 41-38.
Yeah.
All right. And then on the other side of the ball, Saquon Barkley, first touch, boom, 39 yards. Everybody's all excited. Everybody's all ready to fit this guy for a yellow jacket. Relax. What do you get, like 2 yards the rest of the game?
He averaged 3 yards after that. And that's, I mean, but then you have the other side that, look what he did. It's come on, man. Look, is he overhyped in New York? Yeah, you better believe it, without a doubt. I always, I'm sorry. Penn State running backs, there's a history there. there just is. But he seems like he's going to be special. Look, it was a great run he had. Other times he didn't in the game that I saw. He looked okay. I think he's going to
be
fine.
Isn't what we saw last night the same thing that he did at Penn State? Big run, and then boom, nothing. 1 yard, 2 yard, and then big run. I mean, almost.
Well, on some
Barry
of those
Sanders
runs,
did that a lot too.
But on some of those runs, was it because there's no blocking there, whether there's any space, or he just ran the wrong way? See, we don't. That's a problem. Stuff like that, we always assume we know. We don't.
Yeah.
We don't know if he hit the gap, one of the gaps wrong, or a guard,
if there was
a guard didn't pull the right way. That's the stuff that we always try to sit here and dissect and analyze, but you really don't know unless you're sitting in the coach's room with the film.
The other, I don't know if you want to call it a soap opera, it was before the Panthers-Bills game. We all know the little tiff between Cam Newton and Kelvin Benjamin, they used to be teammates. Kelvin Benjamin, about a week ago, said that his career was held back because Cam Newton wasn't that good of a quarterback. And Cam walked over to him in pregame and tried to reach out his hand and all that. And Kelvin Benjamin was hearing none of it. So I guess the tiff continues. Kelvin Benjamin did score a touchdown. Cam Newton looked decent, and the Panthers won 28-23.
I thought they might go at it. I'll give credit to Cam Newton. Hands behind his back, folded, like looked like the principal.
Like a gentleman.
Calling, yeah. But I was waiting for Kelvin Benjamin to turn around and throw a sucker punch. I thought something was going to happen. When I saw that play, I was like, oh, boy, what happened?
See, there's got to be more to this story. Like, they must have hated each other in as teammates or something.
I think that's pretty apparent.
Well, yeah, I know. But it must have been really ugly for it to get to this point like that. Because you know what? Remember, go back in time a little bit. When they traded Kelvin Benjamin, it seemed like a stupid move. It's like, what are you getting rid of the one potential weapon here for Cam Newton? And then Cam Newton publicly seemed very upset by them getting rid of Kelvin Benjamin. So, I don't know what the relationship was. It's very confusing to me.
Yeah, and you probably won't know unless somebody speaks about it off the record. Well, clearly, there was some dissension there.
And you've got Kelvin Benjamin saying it's nice to be playing with accurate quarterbacks now. You got Nathan Peterman
was the one that threw him a touchdown.
Nathan Peterman, A.J. McCarron, and then Josh Allen, who, when you see him throw the ball.
I was impressed. I was impressed. And I know he had
a howitzer that he has for a right arm.
Man, does he have a gun. He really does. I mean, there's a couple times we saw him over the last few years at Wyoming, and it wasn't a lot. And it was always in not great situations because he lost. He never beat anybody good. But that kid has got a gun.
It comes out of his hand a little different than anyone in the NFL, except Aaron Rodgers, maybe.
Yeah. He
slings the rock.
Out of the rookies out there, those five, it's not even close. He is by far got the best arm. There is no doubt about it. If he can learn to harness that arm and channel it in the right direction, boy, they got another Jim Kelly on their hands. It's a possibility. Getting way ahead of ourselves. But I was very, and he made some stupid, he made one of those Gary Upremian type rookie mistakes where you run around all sideways like a serpentine.
And then lose 20 yards.
Chuck it up in the air. It got batted down, almost got picked and ran back. But his arm strength, I was stunned. And I thought he was pretty poised. I know he's 9-19. Look at the numbers, 116 yards, but I thought he did a pretty good job. And some of those darts he threw over the middle of the field were very impressive. Into coverage, too. And just threading the needle.
It is confirmed. Ian Rappaport Redskins running back out for the year. Darius Geis tore his ACL last night.
This is a guy that went up to Gruden before the game, Jay Gruden, and said, "What are you gonna, don't play me three plays. If you're not gonna," and I'm wondering if Gruden fell into the trap. I wonder if he wanted to play him. I mean, obviously, a rookie, he's gonna play.
Man. Wow. Yeah, that stinks.
Wow.
Running back Darius Geis, this is a statement from the Redskins. Running back Darius Geis and tight end Manasse Garner, I don't know who that is, will miss the entire season due to ACL injury sustained from last night's preseason game at the New England.
Yeah.
At the Patriots, both players are expected to make a full recovery and are looking forward to playing in 2019.
Wow. Patriots won that game, by the way,
26-17.
Yeah.
Stinks.
That does. That's
and that's the one. That's the one thing about this time. These games don't mean anything. So, like, you know, we said in the first segment, love seeing Jameis Winston out there in the second quarter.
Uh-huh.
There's a reason that they pull these guys out. And I wanted to see the Dolphins starting offense in there for another series last night.
Yeah.
I'd have liked to see them get some points on the board. But when you see that, you kind of say, okay, yeah, it's not worth it to get a field goal in preseason and risk the health of a starter. And Darius Geis, make no bones about it, he was going to be the starter in DC.
Oh, absolutely was.
No doubt.
No question. That is unbelievable. Well, not totally. We got to wait for the 49ers to see what's going to happen over there. They lost six guys last night.
Did they really?
Yep. Yep.
Man. All right, we got Sound Street coming up next. We'll run down some sound from last night as well. Still more of these games. We want to talk about all of them today. That's what we're going to do for sure. We also have Deflategate 2.0, and it does not involve the Patriots. It involves somebody else. That's coming up next.
For the second time, by the way, just so we set the record straight.
All right, all right, all right. Everybody calm down. No, we'll get to it. It's all coming up. Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN.
Taking a cruise through all the sound.
But they're not going to rook us.
Don't you ever talk about me!
Who was talking about you?
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I can say anything I want. That's the beauty of this country.
I'm not laughing about it. You think this is funny? I take this serious.
It's time for
Sound Street on Sheeman and Shepherd.
Sound Street brought to you by Optimal Male Performance Center in Naples, helping men stay in the game and live healthy, happy lives. Check them out online at OptimalMale.net. Start you off with a little golf. Nota Begay on with Golic and Wingo this morning. They're golf analysts, or for the Golf Channel, an analyst. He said if Ricky Fowler can finally get it done in a major, we'll see.
You look over the last two-year period, nobody has made more birdies and eagles in the majors than Ricky Fowler. So the firepower is there. Now, I think over the years and seeing some of his friends and his peers and Spieth and Justin Thomas and Dustin Johnson go out and win their first major, he should have a good enough understanding of how to get this done.
And also talked about Tiger Woods and what he needs to do, who, by the way, as we speak, getting ready to tee off. But here's Begay's comments on Woods.
I know it's only even par, but the lead's only at six under, and you know, being six shots back as opposed to eight or 10 shots back makes a world of difference with 54 holes left. I mean, I think he needs to create a better relationship with his driver. I mean, he's gone through a couple different things. I mean, he's a 125th in the strokes gain category, which is how we evaluate scoring opportunities with your driver.
He did not use his driver round one, by the way, just FYI.
Got off with a three wood, but he found the fairway.
Yep. Be cordial to it. Talk to it. Caress it. Hug it.
That's what I do. Then I throw it.
Don't mock talking to a golf club. I've done it many a time.
Oh, yeah. God. I talk to him all the time.
It's not nice.
And it ain't sweet nothings either. All right. The Bucks 26-24 win over the Dolphins. Peyton Barber with a 4-yard touchdown run on WFLA.
And they're going to run it, and they're going to score it. Peyton Barber goes in for the touchdown. And a very quick, nifty drive by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who score first in this game.
Dick Stockton. Saquon Barkley for the Giants goes 39 yards on his first carry in the first quarter on NBC.
Barkley gets the first touch. Barkley makes a few misses. That's why he was second overall, out across the 50, and chased out at the Browns' 48-yard line.
Barkley never felt nervous before his first game.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of weird. I was talking to a lot of guys there. For some reason, I didn't get nervous. I didn't really get anxious. It was kind of a weird feeling. I didn't understand it. They said it would probably hit me when national anthem goes off. But I just kind of like just got locked in so quick. You know, I just been preparing for this moment my whole life and be able to play in the NFL. And I didn't want any other thing to ruin it. It didn't matter if I broke a long run or not. I just wanted to go out there and enjoy and have fun and take advantage of every rep and every opportunity I got.
This Giants did lose to the Browns. Get used to this. Mayfield to Callaway, also on NBC.
Third and four.
He shows up on tape.
Mayfield with a bullet. Callaway in the open. And a touchdown.
54 yards on the play. That made it 20-10 at that point. Mayfield excited to get into the groove.
It was definitely different. I think just this whole trip going through the routine, a different routine. You know, I got into such a daily schedule in Norman, traveling with that team and doing every meeting. And so it was, you know, doing your first couple steps, you're kind of just walking through it and making sure you're at the right spot at the right time early and making sure that you're following all the rules. And so I'm happy with how it went, but I'm excited to get into a groove here. But, you know, that being said, Ty was out there playing. And so, no, it was kind of like he'd come off the field, look at what they were doing on defense. And so I wasn't nervous. It was just settled in already.
All right. Elsewhere, the Ravens beat the Rams, and Joe Flacco came out, was efficient, sat down. Lamar Jackson with a 9-yard touchdown run when he came in on WJZ 13.
Lamar Jackson, pocket collapsing. He's going to dart. He's going to run. Inside the five. Jackson into the touchdown. Oh, kind of quicks by Lamar Jackson. And that time, I don't care if you're running through a college of defense or a Hall of Fame defense, nobody was going to bring that kid down.
All right, that sounds street. We still have plenty of games to talk about from last night. Get your reaction to some of them as well at 239-337-ESPN. We'll update the Luppies Golf Twitter poll as well. And as I promised, Deflategate 2.0 is next. Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN.